Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Balabha Girivada Dari Gopi Janna Balabha Girivada Dari Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnu Pad Padmahus Vari Bhaja Gacharya Asta Tarasi Sri Mara Divine Grace Sila Isi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai Bihat Miranga Chancellor of Bhakti Shibushan Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Nittai Gaurav Yamanandi All glories to the sum of devotees All glories to the sum of devotees All glories to the sum of devotees All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 8, entitled Manifestation of Brahma from Vishnu. And I believe we're on text number 27. I don't know if we're going to have it on the board, but for those who have it, please follow. Mukena Lokarti Hara Smitena Parispurat Kundala Manditena Sunayani Sunayatina dhara bimba bhasa pratyarhayantam sunasena subhra. Okay. Mukena lokarti hara smitena Mukena lokarti hara smitena Parispurat kundala manditena Parispurat kundala manditena. Sanayutena, I'm sorry. Sonai, sonaitena dharabimbabhasa. Sonaitena dharabimbabhasa. Pratyahayantam surasena subhra. Pratyahayantam surasena subhrava. Mukena lokarti harasmitena. Parisparat kundala manditena. Sonaya tena dhara bimbabasa. Pracharhayantam sunasena bubrava. Mukena lokarti harasmitena. Parispurat kundala manditena. Sonaya dindindhara bimbabasa. Pratyarhayantam sunasena subhrava. Mukena lokarti harasmitena. Parisparat kundala manditena. Sonaya tendhyara bimbabasa. Pracharhayantam surasena subhrava. Anyone else? Ladies? Mukena lokarti harasmitena. Parisparat kundala manditena. Sonaya dindara bimbabasa. Pracharhayantam surasena subhrava. Mukena lokarti arasmitena. Parisparat kundala manditena. Sonaya tindandara bimbabasa. Pacharhayantam sunasena subhrava. Mukena. By a gesture of the face. Loka artihara. Vanquisher of the distress of the devotees. Smitena. By smiling. Parisparat. Dazzling. Kundala. Earrings. Manditena. Decorated with. Sonaya itena. Acknowledging. Adhara. Of his lips. Bimba. Reflection. Bhasa. Rays. Pratyarhayantam. Reciprocating. Sunasena. By his pleasing nose. Subhrava. And pleasing eyebrows. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. He also acknowledged the service of the devotees and vanquished their distress by his beautiful smile. The reflections of his face decorated with earrings was so pleasing because it dazzled with the rays from his lips and the beauty of his nose and eyebrows. Please repeat. He also acknowledged the service of the devotees and vanquished their distress by his beautiful smile. The reflection of his face, decorated with earrings, was so pleasing because it dazzled with the rays from his lips and the beauty of his nose and eyebrows. Purport. Devotional service to the Lord is very much obliging to him. There are many transcendentalists in different fields of spiritual activities. But devotional service to the Lord is unique. Devotees do not ask anything from the Lord in exchange for their service. Even the most desirable liberation is refused by devotees, although offered by the Lord. Thus the Lord becomes a kind of debtor to the devotees, and he can only try to repay the devotee's service with his ever-enchanting smile. The devotees are ever satisfied by the smiling face of the Lord, and they become enlivened. And by seeing the devotees so enlivened, the Lord himself is further satisfied. So there is continuous transcendental competition between the Lord and his devotees by such reciprocation of service and acknowledgement. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Sigurabhinma Vakam Guru Devachalam Pangam Mangaya Degrim Yadkibdamande Sigurum Dinatarana Paramanandamaravam Sri Chaitanyeshwaram. So, I think when you read such a verse, for the mundane person, you can imagine what they're thinking. They're thinking of some kind of love letter or some romantic story. Where someone's smile is appreciated, or the reflection of their face is decorated with earrings so pleasing that it's dazzling, and the rays from that person's lips and beauty of his nose and eyebrows. So typically in the material world, when you hear something like this, you think of some mundane some mundane novel or some mundane story, and the materialist immediately becomes agitated. It's a symptom of material consciousness. But here, when we're hearing this wonderful description of how the Lord is so attractive that it's completely mesmerizes. Just like there's a wonderful, there's so many descriptions in the Krishna book of when Krishna plays his flute, or when you read Nectar Devotion, there's so many descriptions of Krishna's qualities, the sound of his flute. It bedazzles even the animals, the creepers. So we can understand from that how unique, as Prabhupada writes here, how unique devotional service to the Lord is. How it has to be performed in a very unique way as well. Not that we take it cheaply. Anya bilasita shunyam jnana karma dinavritam. It cannot be. Uttama bhakti is activity which is not tainted by some other desire. Oh, I need to get some position or I need to get some gratification, whether it be physical or mental. I need some sort of satisfaction from it. But devotional service is so special that Sudha Goswami describes Ahaitiki apritiyata yatna supersedati, that it's so special that only devotional service is able to completely satisfy the self. And which is important, because the conditioned soul in the material world is trying, struggling so hard to satisfy oneself. We try to surround ourselves, whether it be the physical body or some extended idea, right? We try to build a nice little family, or we try to extend ourselves with our neighborhood, or we try to extend ourselves with the city or country or race. We're trying to, some or other, satisfy the self, satisfy ourselves. But devotional service is so unique that the process entails giving as opposed to taking. That is the uniqueness of devotional service, as Prabhupada is pointing out here. That devotional service it can't be mixed with something else. And Lord Brahma also points out, Shreya Shritim Bhakti Mutasya Devi Bhu Vibho Klishyantiye Kevala Bhodaya, that it's the best path for advancing in life. one may engage in other processes. Again, we try to develop so many situations in our material sphere, and we try to achieve some sort of, again, satisfaction. But Lord Brahma explains that actually the devotional service is the best path, because other paths are troublesome. Right? Krishna says that also in Bhagavad Gita, klesho diktaras tesham avyakta sakta chetasam. If one is engaged in something outside of the process of bhakti, it's very troublesome. You have to go through so much effort for no return, practically, if any. And even that return is very difficult. Whatever you get from it is very difficult and challenging. It's not very satisfying. Whereas in the path of devotional service, there's not only immediate reciprocation, but it's also everlasting, as Krishna says again in Bhagavad Gita, that those who are engaged in this process of bhakti and who are completely engaging themselves with faith. Engaging oneself completely means that, again, one is not acting with some other intent. We're not trying to make some sort of deal, as you typically find in the material world. When people do some kind of, are engaged in some kind of work, there's always some kind of payback. We're always looking for some kind of, oh, I'm going to become successful in business, and my payback will be wealth or position, or if I develop this particular kind of relationship, then my payback will be some sort of gratification. within the home or in society in an extended way. So that mentality is what keeps one outside of the bubble, you could say, of bhakti. And whereas conversely, if one is engaged, as Krishna says, yetu dharmyam yatam idam, yatuktam paripashate, that when you engage in the process of bhakti and making Krishna the focal point, making Krishna the supreme goal, that person becomes very, very dear to me. And Krishna reciprocates with them, as Prabhupada points out here in this purport so nicely, that there are many transcendentalists in different fields of spiritual activities, but devotional service to the Lord is unique. Because in devotional service, Krishna becomes especially inclined, as he says in Bhagavad Gita, but he becomes especially accessible. And someone may say, well, how does that happen? Well, it's described in the Bhagavatam, Sadhanam Hridayam Mayam, that because the devotees are keeping Krishna within their heart, they are very solidly situated in the heart of the Lord. It's a reciprocal experience that Krishna becomes very much obliged to that person who is engaged in that sort of mentality. That let me do something for Krishna and I'm not looking for some payback. Right? Even Prahlad, he also says like this, Yada yadi dasyasi me kaman. I don't want anything. The only thing I want, bhavatas tu varani varam, that within the core of my heart, all of my material desires be cleansed away. Some or other, I don't want anything, but just take away those obstacles which are keeping me from engaging in your pure devotional service. This is the mentality of one who is experiencing that reciprocation with the Lord. That's the mentality. We're thinking, I don't want, right? Bilva Mangala Thakur also explains that when I'm engaged in your devotional service, I can perceive your presence everywhere. That is the experience that the servant of the Lord experiences. That when engaged in that devotional service, you can perceive how Krishna is within everything and everywhere. So much so that Dharma Arthaka Moksha, they're standing at my door with folded hands, waiting to serve me. But there's no interest. There's no interest. And that experience we can also experience even within our limited life experience. That the Lord reciprocates with his devotee when we engage in service with the proper attitude. It's just like when you have a nice kirtan and the devotees are surrendering to the holy name, it becomes very, very ecstatic. Krishna reciprocates. Or when the devotee is surrendered to dressing the Lord so nicely and they're meditating on putting this beautiful dress, or when they're creating this beautiful flower outfit, like this last year. The outfit was just stunning. And it's because Krishna's reciprocating with that devotee, as Prabhupada is pointing out here. The Lord becomes a debtor to the devotee. Devotees do not ask for anything, even the most desirable liberation. Thus, the Lord becomes a kind of debtor to the devotees, and he can only try to repay the devotee's service with his ever-enchanting smile. So, when that attitude is proper, when it's in the proper mentality and attitude, then Krishna reciprocates with that beautiful dress. And he's stunning. Or if there's a wonderful kirtan, or if there's a wonderful preparation, oh, this is the nicest feast I've ever experienced. Or just like when the devotees go out on sankirtan and they're preaching to the conditioned souls, when that attitude is correct, then all of a sudden you meet such nice people that you could never believe were there. Sometimes the experiences or the work is challenging, certainly. But Krishna is only waiting for us to give ourselves. And when you give yourself, then that experience, that engagement in devotional service, it becomes extra special. It becomes very enlivening. And Krishna is reciprocating that service with his ever enchanting smile. So the remembrance of the Lord is there, and his beautiful form and face. It's there within the devotee's mind, within his experience, so that when you engage in that service, it becomes extra special. It becomes exciting. The Lord is further satisfied, so there is continuous transcendental competition between the Lord and his devotees. It's a static experience. It's an ecstatic experience. It's not static. The material world is static. I can only take so much. I can't take this anymore. I've heard this too many times, or I've done this work too many times. I just can't do it anymore. That's the material world, or this relationship. Let's move on to something else. That's the material world. It's static. But devotional service, devotional life, whatever engagement that may be, it becomes ecstatic. Because there's a constant competition between the Lord and his devotees. The devotees are constantly trying to some or other increase their devotional service and make the offering greater than it was ever before. At least better than yesterday. And tomorrow we'll try to do even better. And then the Lord, seeing that, as Prabhupada points out here, he becomes ever enlivened, and his smiling face becomes more and more, it's exhibited through his beauty, through his sound vibration. That's also Krishna's smile. That's why we understand the Lord to be absolute, that he exhibits himself through that sound vibration or through that offering. So, and he becomes indebted, as Prabhupada is pointing out here so very nicely. And the Bhagavatam, there's a very nice verse. Thus the Lord becomes a kind of debtor to the devotee. Nasarayati mam yogo, right? Nasad sankin dharma udava. The Lord is speaking to Uddhava, and he tells Uddhava that I can't be controlled by the mystic yogis. The mystic yogis are certainly powerful. We read in the Bhagavatam how they can do so many things. By their mystic potencies, they're able to travel throughout the universe, even to Vaikuntha. But they don't control me, and neither... Can one control me by philosophy, by Sankhya, right? Na Sankhyam Dharma Uddhava. It's not by a lot of intellectualism or philosophical ideas that really don't have any conclusion. It's just a lot of word jugglery and confuses people, but they're attracted to the flowery words of it all. So that doesn't, or just analytical study of the material world, that doesn't attract Krishna. Na svadhyaya tapas tyago. And it's not by pious work. You can do a lot of nice things in society. You can dig wells and build bridges and create so many societies and clubs for the homeless and the suffering animals. That's nice. That may be some pious work. But that doesn't attract or cannot control the personality of Godhead. He's above all that. Or by Vedic study, austerity, penances. Instead, he says, yata bhaktir mamorjita. It's that by bhakti, by devotional service, that I become controlled. So that is the unique position, as Prabhupada is pointing out here, of devotional service to the Lord. It's so unique. It's special in itself. It has no limitations. It's inexhaustible, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Meaning that no matter whatever you do, however much you do, it's always constantly there. That benefit is constantly there. That experience will stick with you. It doesn't burn out like you find in the material world. People burn out from so many different things in due course of time. But there's no question, when one engages in the process of devotional service, there's no question of burnout. That's not the experience. When it's properly executed. So this verse is so wonderful. Prabhupada makes so many incredible points. Every line is just full of realization. And again, when you hear these descriptions of how beautiful the Supreme Lord is, his smile, his dazzling earrings, the rays from his lips, and the beauty of his nose and eyebrows, you can't help but become attracted. So, and are there any questions or comments? Do we have a mic, please? I guess it's not working. I'll try and repeat. I'll try and repeat your question.
To manifest due to the fact that the consciousness of the people in general is adhered to the lotus feet of Krishna.
There has to be knowledge, as you pointed out. That knowledge has to be there. Otherwise, whatever you're doing in life, whatever your work is, whatever your activity is, it becomes fruitless and it never satisfies the self. You never achieve what you're really looking for. So knowledge has to be there, absolutely. And that's the wonderful benefit of Krishna consciousness, the Vedic literatures. The Vedic literatures are giving people knowledge of why they should be engaging in their various works. What is the purpose behind their works? I was had that thought in my mind the other day when you talk about knowledge, that it's so important to become educated, even in the material world. When there's lack of education, then people don't know why they're suffering. They don't know why things are happening the way they're happening. And if you can keep people ignorant, then you can control them very easily. If you keep them in ignorance, then there's no question of them inquiring or trying to improve their lives. They don't know how or why they even should, or why they're suffering. So that education has to be given. That's why it's so important that these literatures, which the Sankirtan devotees and all the members of this Krishna consciousness movement are trying to share with the conditioned souls, is so important. That education is so important to wake people up, to awaken one to real life. And that doesn't necessarily mean economic development, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, obviously. That's not the point. But it means to improve yourself within yourself and make that connection with the absolute truth. So your point about knowledge, I think, is so, so critical. Archita Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a very nice class, Prabhu. This is the benefit of the bhakti process, the chanting process especially. You don't need knowledge. And Yamaraj told us to the Yamadutas, there's a nice verse in the sixth canto, first chapter. He says, Agyanad atava gyanad uttama shloka namaya sankirtitim agang pungso dohet adyo yatanala. He says, just as a fire can consume any amount of fuel you put into it, this chanting, even if you know or you don't know agyanad atava gyanad, this name of Krishna, uttama shloka, will burn up all of your, you know, sinful reactions and give you the highest result. So there's a nice example of that. I was speaking to Bhakti Kier. His parents are from Scotland. So he's been to Scotland a lot. And you may remember, Subhas may remember, back in the 80s, the devotees in Scotland, they were having a hard time distributing and going out on Harinam. The government and the police were giving them a hard time. So somebody just started writing Goranga everywhere, like graffiti. Goranga, Goranga, everywhere all over Glasgow. And the people didn't know. They had no idea what it meant. But everybody was chanting, Goranga, what is this Goranga, Goranga, Goranga? They were getting ecstatic. Goranga, Goranga, Goranga. Finally, the police traced it out to the Hare Krishnas. And this is another example of what not to do. The police commissioner came to the temple, you know, with all his entourage and wearing his uniform with epaulets and everything. And he knocks on the door. And some bhakta came to the door and saw this police commissioner. What do you want? Not, you know, please come in, sit down, give him something to drink like the Vedic scriptures say. No. What do you want? Oh, is this the Hare Krishna temple? Yes. When he explained what he wanted, he closed the door in the commissioner's face and said, I have to go get the temple president. And closed the door in his face. So that's another thing not to do. When somebody obviously important comes to the temple, invite them in, sit them down, maybe offer them something to drink, and then ask them what they want. That's Vedic culture.
That's the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that everything is contained within that holy name. Simply by chanting the holy names, that all knowledge and detachment, right? Rai Bhairagya Vijanija Bhakti Yoga, Shikshartam Eka Purushak Purana. Everything is contained within that chanting process. That is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All knowledge and detachment from material unnecessary things is experienced within that simple process. We're so fortunate.
Yeah, I just like to make a point here. So in the shloka which you quote, Anya Vilashita Shunyam and then Jnana Karma Anushilanam, there it is said that Anya Vilashita Shunyam means no other desires, zero, like no other desire. But for the Jnana and Karma, it is said that it's not said zero. It's not said that Jnana Karma should be Shunya. It's said that basically jnana and karma is required, but it should not cover the bhakti. I mean, it should support the bhakti. So the jnana and karma is required, but it's not like superpower the bhakti or overpower the bhakti. So yeah, I'll actually just bring out that point that jnana and karma and detachment, it's all required for bhakti, but it's not overpower the bhakti.
Yes. It complements the process of bhakti. Touch the noi, Prabhu.
Mention, you know, he gave the classical example. If you pour water in the at the roots of the in the roots of the tree, everything will flourish. But even with that example and many other ones, they could not understand. It's so difficult. Like you were mentioning in the beginning, the materialists, they have another conception of what life is, of what enjoyment is, of whatever. So real knowledge again is pure and transcendental. When it's spiritual, that's the real knowledge. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we do have a lot of knowledge in the material world. A lot of knowledge there. But how far can that help someone?
Yeah.
Only in this lifetime.
It only goes so far. Srila Prabhupada Gita.